KBPS on PRP, student radio for the city of Portland. Joe Anderson here, your host. Thanks for tuning in. Join me as we hear from students across the Portland Public School District, powered by AM 1450 KBPS Portland. For 100 years, KBPS has been the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Brought to you by Portland Radio Project, KPRP LP Portland, your nonprofit community radio station. This is KBPS on PRP.
Hello, listeners to AM 1450 KBPS. We're here interviewing an alum from Benson Polytechnics about the 100th anniversary of the radio program in Benson. So, what is your name and what year did you graduate?
Hi, guys. My name is Jacob Patterson. I am KBPS Chief of Staff 2006, Summer Sound 2005, 2006, 2009, first KBPS National Skills USA winners 2006, Election Night co-anchor 2012, 2022, and there's probably a couple other things in there that I'm forgetting.
Thanks so much, Jacob. Just for our listeners, my name's Joe. I'm the host of KBPS on PRP, and I'm tag-teaming this interview with the wonderful James, a KBPS junior. Jacob, thanks so much for being on air with us. You sort of plowed right through that second question I was going to ask you, but that's all okay. Let's jump right into the fourth. How did KBPS affect your life and career? Would you be where you are right now today if not for KBPS?
Well, Joe, the answer is obviously no. I'm neglecting one huge mention. I am the current KBPS instructor at Benson High School, taking over for my instructors and mentors, Steve Naganuma and Kevin Flink. So for all of our alums that may not be familiar with myself, I am the new KBPS instructor at Benson. To your question, Joe, I mean, obviously, if it wasn't for KBPS, would I be here teaching KBPS? Absolutely not. And the interesting story is that I initially was not going to major in KBPS. I originally forecasted to be an automotive major because at the time, Benson made you forecast for your major before you really had an opportunity to explore all of the CTE classes that you were taking in your sophomore years. And so I forecasted to be an automotive major in third quarter, took KBPS the fourth quarter with Steve Naganuma, and went, holy moly, no, this is what I want to do. My passion of music far surpasses any other thing in my life at that moment. And I thought it was really cool that I could walk into a room, push a button, talk into a microphone, and the entire city of Portland would hear me. I thought that was pretty powerful stuff. And at the time when I was a student at Benson, there was really nothing else like it. And between that cool opportunity and between my already existing love of music, I knew that there was nothing else that I wanted to do at Benson. It was pretty clear that I had to do KBPS. And despite the the battles that come with pursuing a career in broadcasting, it is a uphill battle, to say the least. If you are going to dedicate yourself to making a life in this world happen, it is hard work, years and years and years and decades of hard work. But I am so thankful that I pursued it, I committed to it, and now I am in a place where I know I'm supposed to be and I don't want to be anywhere else.
So, Jacob, what would you say your favorite memory is that you've made at KBPS?
James, that's so hard to pin down one specific favorite memory. There's many over the many years and all the opportunities that I had at KBPS. Couple that stand out initially being the first Skills USA national winners to go to Kansas City, Missouri, and bring home some gold medals, put KBPS on the map. I always felt really proud of that moment. Kevin Flink and Bill Cooper, the instructor and general manager, were there with us at Kansas City when we did that. That was really cool. I'm always super proud of that moment. To have a little fun, I will never forget the time that we were on air on Summer Sound, and our general manager, Bill Cooper, we were doing a live report of breaking news that was happening right outside the KBPS studios over there near Lloyd Center. The Franz Bakery and other folks were putting together the world's longest hot dog. And my on-air partner and I said, hey, wait a minute, this is a news story. we're a radio station. Why don't we actually like cover this news story? And we sent out the boss. We sent out the general manager on assignment to go report live from the scene of the hot dog. And I still have that air check today, which I saved all these years later. And I look back at that, and I always chuckle about, we were the students making the boss do the work, and it was on the world's longest hot dog. That's always fun. The one other memorable moment in my KBPS career that I never forget, and I tell this story pretty frequently, and my students probably all know the story, I was live on the air the moment Michael Jackson died. I will never forget that because I was there at the studio by myself. I was over 18 at the time. This was in 2009 when I'd come back to serve as kind of an adult helper at the station, if you will. And the station manager was on the Kansas City trip with Skills USA at the time. And I went to AP. I was supposed to do a newscast at the top and bottom of every hour. And just like I asked my students to do, I went to apnews.com. I found the big story, and I went on the air. And I remember it was the bottom of the hour, and the story was, you know, Michael Jackson was rushed unresponsive to a hospital. And I was still pretty young at that time. I didn't, like, understand the weight of that at the moment. And then just a moment later, the phone was ringing in the KBPS studio. It was the general manager on the phone all the way from the other side of the country going, Jacob, Michael Jackson just died. You have to go on the air and announce that and play every single song that we have of Michael Jackson in our library. And then when you're done, I want you to go on the air and announce it again and play every single Michael Jackson song we have in the library again. And not a fun memory, so to speak, not as fun as World's Longest Hot Dog, definitely, but a moment, an unforgettable moment nevertheless that I will never forget.
Well, thank you, Jacob. I heard that recording of the hot dog, and it sounded like a really long hot dog. And I do remember when we did the same thing here at KBPS when Christine McVie passed from Fleetwood Mac, and we did the exact same thing. We put up an announcement, and for the rest of the day, we played all Fleetwood Mac songs. Now, I'd like you to tell us, what have you done with your KBPS experience? Because what did you do after high school? You did not jump straight from being a student to being the teacher. What happened in between those years?
Joe, thank you. After KBPS, I went to Mount Hood Community College and got my associate's degree in integrated media and broadcasting at Mount Hood Community College. To the best of my knowledge, the Mount Hood class of 2008 was the very last MHCC radio broadcasting class. They changed the radio program there and turned it into what we call an integrated media program that now incorporates broadcasting and video and graphic design and video production, all that kind of stuff. So I was part of the last actual radio class of Mount Hood Community College. But I got my associate's degree. I told myself I really wanted to get a college degree. I was the first in my immediate family to get a college degree, so that was really important to me. I had worked really hard during my high school years to get some scholarships that led me to a full-ride scholarship at Mount Hood Community College. And during my couple years at college, I did some internships. The first internship I ever had was at 105.1 The Buzz in the afternoons with Daria, Mitch, and Ted. That was a lot of fun. I embarrassingly told the story of my snuggle bear on the air at The Buzz one time, which I won't bear repeating here. And then I had an internship at 1190 KEX. That was the first time I had an opportunity to work on a morning drive program. I was the intern of the morning drive show on KEX and had to be at the radio station by 4 a.m. The show was on air at 5 a.m. That was the first time I ever started drinking coffee and never looked back. But I continued to work hard because I knew I really wanted to do this. And then I finally ultimately got my big break thanks to one of my college radio teachers, Rosemary Reynolds. Gave me a call one day. I was working at Papa Murphy's part-time, working at KPAM part-time. And I got a phone call from Rosemary Reynolds, said, Jacob, what you doing? And I said, well, I'm here making a cowboy pizza with pepperoni, sausage, mushroom, and olive at Papa Murphy's. Not that I still have all that stuff memorized. And she goes, well, I got a job for you. Why don't you come on down and check out this show? Well, come to find out, it was a nationally syndicated talk show, number one progressive talk show in the nation. It was called the Tom Hartman Program. It was on AM 620 KPOJ here in Portland before they had flipped KPOJ from progressive talk to a sports station. And I just started out as a control board operator, kind of run the board during the show, push the buttons, you know, hit the commercial button when it was time to go to commercial, play the music when it was time to play the music. And then I slowly grew and progressed in that environment. They took me to Washington, D.C. I lived and worked in Washington, D.C., in a nation's capital, for about 3.5-4 years. I became so politically engaged and motivated. I wanted to get out and change the world. You know, when you're in D.C., you're surrounded by all that stuff. And I felt pretty powerful. And I would look out in the world and I go, well, that's not right. What are we going to do to fix that? I started my own talk show and started doing a weekly talk show for a couple hours every week. And I did that for a couple of years. And up until the moment I became the instructor of KBPS, the proudest accomplishment of my career was I got my own talk show that I created completely organically, syndicated on a terrestrial radio station, AM 1480 WPWC We Act Radio in Washington, D.C. They played my show on the weekends. And I thought that was just about the coolest dang thing in the whole world, that an idea that I completely created on my own was picked up and syndicated on an actual radio station, not an online stream, not a podcast, but a real radio station was playing my show. And that was pretty dang cool. I interviewed presidential candidates. I interviewed senators. I interviewed change makers. I interviewed activists. I interviewed social justice people. I interviewed change makers. And I thought I was doing something good.
Could you give us a liner from that show?
Give us a liner from that show?
Yeah, a promo. Something about coffee, if I wanted filters.
Oh, yeah. I wrote some great lines, and I had a good friend of mine record them. If you're looking for filters, check your coffee maker. This is Filter-Free Radio with Jacob Dean and Skeptical Scott. I can also give you one more that we're going to have to bleep. I just may edit this completely out of the interview, but we also had one that said, Filter-Free Radio, we're the take a whiff.
Yeah, we're not airing that.
But, well, Mr. Jacob, what do you think you would do if there was no KBPS? Do you think you might not have a caffeine addiction?
What would I do if there was no KBPS and no radio broadcasting career? I'm sure my blood pressure would be at a normal level. I'm sure that my caffeine addiction would be much more healthy. No, I'm just kidding. I would have still pursued some sort of facet of music or audio. I mean, my love of audio and radio roots really goes back to my very first memory I can remember, hanging out with my grandpa John on the CB radio in his pickup truck at about 7 or 8 years old. And I'll never forget, you know, getting to go hang out with Grandpa John, talk on the CB radio. Hey, breaker out there, 10-4, good buddy. Can I get a radio check? Hold on, I'm back now. And I thought it was so cool that I could push a button and talk to somebody on the other side of the city, and they'd talk right back to me. And I know all of our alums have heard this stereotypical radio story, but it's honest to God true for my life that I got a cassette boombox, a cassette recorder when I was about 8 years old, and I learned how to put a little piece of tape over the corners of cassettes so I could record over the cassette. And I would go record my favorite songs off the radio and pretend to play DJ when I was 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. I remember when Smash Mouth All-Star was a brand new song on Z100 in Portland, and I would record that song on my cassette player and pretend to be radio. So, I may have found radio without KBPS, but KBPS definitely helped me launch into the life path that I knew I was destined for.
Well, thank you so much, Jacob. Unfortunately, we are just about to run out of time, so I'd like to do one final question. Is there anything else you'd like to add, any fun stories you'd like to tell from your time at KBPS to your time before coming back as the instructor to your time right now as the broadcast instructor here at KBPS? Anything else you'd like to add?
I owe my life to KBPS. I owe my career to KBPS. I'm so thankful that I had this opportunity. I'm so thankful that I chose to dedicate my life to this. This is the one last thing I want to leave you with, and I tell my current students this, and I'm sure that all my current students will know what my dying wish is. If If I happen to keel over in the middle of a class and have a heart attack, and my tenure of KBPS comes to a sudden unsuspected halt, which I sure hope doesn't happen. I sure hope to get to live out this experience for 30 years like my predecessors Steve Naganuma and Kevin Flink did. But if something takes a turn for the worst, my dying wish is never let KBPS go off the air, ever. Under any circumstance, no matter what it takes, do not let this station die. It has been on the air since March 23, 1923. It should be on the air far past March 23, 21, 23, and 22, 23. Who knows what radio will look like? Who knows what school will look like then? And whatever it looks like, KBPS still needs to be a part of it. Don't let KBPS die.
Thank you so much, Jacob. Joe Anderson here, the host of KBPS on PRP, Class of 2024, alongside my interview partner,
James Christian.
Thank you so much, Jacob. This has been our 100th anniversary broadcast with KBPS alum number one, Jacob Dean, 2006. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Donna Negus, class of 1983. Wow, KBPS, a centenarian. I dare say, and I mean no impropriety, you look simply ravishing, dear. KBPS was my first radio experience and my current radio gig, so it's come full circle. I do a show and operate the radio board for games and school board meetings, so I'm a DJ, jock, announcer, air personality, pilot of the airwaves, or whatever we're called these days, and I'm a board operator, and no, it's not spelled B-O-R-E-D. Radio's a blast. Admittedly, I've tried to leave the industry due to its instability, but it won't let me. It stalks me, like in the Final Destination movies, but with less gore. So let's go back a whopping 40 years, because who doesn't like being reminded of how old they're getting? I was co-editor of my high school newspaper, hoping to study journalism at U of O, become a duck, and perhaps a magazine writer, but fate had other plans, like Final Destination. A school counselor informed me of a minority broadcasting scholarship, and being half Filipina qualified me. I could be Filipina and do something other than nursing? Really? Cool. I had never considered radio, but the scholarship was too good to pass up, covering everything but lunch, tuition, fees, books, and a bus pass. I could live at home, go to school, get a degree, and pay zilch, so I applied. I was interviewed by a large panel of very important leaders in Portland, and not even too scary, including Vern Chapman, a CEO at Nike, Margaret Carter, who became my counselor at PCC and later went into politics and became a representative and then a senator, and Dr. Patricia Swenson, the renowned station manager at KBPS, who encouraged me to try out for Summer Sound. I did win the scholarship, which was awarded to one girl and one boy in Portland. Kismet was the moon in the seventh house. It felt esoterically auspicious. I auditioned for Summer Sound at KBPS, and guess what? I received a rejection letter. But Kevin Flink, the radio teacher at the time, called and told me to ignore the letter as more funding was provided. Fate again. We had three jocks, and the rest of us were newscasters. We did mainly rip-and-read news back when we sifted through reams of paper on a teletype machine to find stories and rip them from the printer. We also did the occasional interview. I had a lot to learn. I was quite the neophyte. Well, you have to start somewhere. You practice, improve, and learn on the job, no matter how cringeworthy at times. It's much more doable when you have a patient leader like Kevin. He taught us, managed us, put up with, and even embraced teenage shenanigans and saw our potential. And that's what KBPS is about, recognizing potential, guiding students, giving them a chance to learn, grow, gain experience, polish their skills, and expand their knowledge in an ever-changing, ephemeral, technological world. In my career, I was a production director, which I loved. Reels and reels of hilarious outtakes. I also worked in news for a short time and wrote a couple of stories used by the Associated Press, but I decided news wasn't for me. I prefer more positivity and fun, fun, fun. I want to be the one to walk in the sun. Though a jock incorporates news in a show, for the most part you're entertaining listeners, not giving them anxiety. Nothing wrong with uplifting others with good music and a laugh or two. I worked up and down I-5, most notably KZOK and KJR in Seattle and KINK and KGON in Portland. I was also a founding member of Portland Radio Project and, in fact, did their first radio show. I'm so happy that KBPS has teamed up with PRP. Kudos to everyone involved for all the hard work making it a win-win situation. A shout out to Benson's enthusiastic, dedicated, and seemingly tireless radio instructor, Jacob Patterson. Sometimes I wonder if the man's even human. With so much on his plate, how does he not faint from exhaustion? And a thank you to our operations manager, Scott Young, who's always there for me, adding music to the library at my request, often at the last minute. He's helpful, knowledgeable, and values my opinions and suggestions. That means a lot to me. Radio has been hit hard, oopsed upside the head even. It wasn't video that killed the radio star, it was automation, leaving gifted and experienced jocks dazed and confused and causing them to enter other industries and get real jobs or voice track and become Stepford DJs, robots. We almost feel extinct, like the dinosaurs we are. But it's survival of the most adaptable. KBPS has adapted and rolled with the changes from overly spliced reels, scratchy vinyl, uncued carts, skipping CDs and sticking manual typewriters to computers that crash. What a long way we've come. But we're staying alive, staying musically relevant, keeping the sound fresh with teen sound as well as that old-time rock and roll. Got Beatles? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got Elvis? Oh-ho-ho. The variety keeps it interesting. I've worked at 15 radio stations. Did I mention the biz is unstable? I've played many formats, including pop, adult contemporary, classic rock, oldies, heavy metal, country, alternative blues, and new age. And with Scott's extensive knowledge of older music and deeper tracks, some I've never heard of, Jacob's love of various genres, and my experience, I think we have the music pretty well covered. Yay, team. KBPS, they say it's your birthday, so happy birthday to you. 100, wow. Now go blow out those candles before the air quality index goes berserk.
Hi, this is Frank Lindsay, KBPS class of 1993. I was part of Night Teen Magazine and also Summer Sounds 91, 92, and 93, and also a co-producer of the program Portland High Life. My favorite KBPS memory is probably one that was from before I ever became part of the program, and it was what inspired me to get involved with it. I was sitting in my basement in the summer of 1990. This was the summer between my freshman and sophomore years. And I was aware that there was a radio station at Benson, and I knew about KBPS. My brother had gone to Benson, and he was part of it, too. He was part of the program. And I hadn't really thought much about it until this one night I decided to turn it on and see what they were doing. And it was Summer Sound. And they were playing rock and roll music. I was like, cool. And this guy comes on, and he says, hey, if you got any requests, you know, give me a call, 280-5830. I remember that number 30-plus years later. And I called him up, and I said, play me some U2, Where the Streets Have No Name. A couple songs later, boom, he plays it. And I thought that was the coolest thing. It was so immediate and right there. And then I thought, in that moment, I'm like, I want to do that. I want to be the guy on the other side taking requests. How cool would that be? And so that kind of shifted my whole focus of what I was going to do at Benson. I was going to try to be an aviation major. Well, that went out the window. That didn't fly after that night. So that fall, I started asking how to get involved, and I got involved as a sophomore and kind of took off from there. So that's probably the first thing that comes to mind, probably my favorite memory, just kind of a key moment in my life. And then I just loved, even though moving into the new building, quote unquote new building, in 92 was great, I really did and still do miss the days when it was KBPS was split into two sections. One was over the gymnasiums, and the other was over the auditorium. And I loved both of them. They were so old, and it was just, I don't know, if they both felt like kind of little caves or something. It was just something about broadcasting from there. And I loved doing Night Teen Magazine. And I just remember one particular night that it was like Friday night, and it was super rainy outside. It was just cool. I don't remember anything other than that. I don't really remember anything that I played or anything about the show. The show, I'm sure, was terrible, and I'm glad there's no recording of it. But so those are kind of my favorite KBPS memories. And in terms of how it affected my life and career, it gave me my career. And it all goes back to that first night. I mean, it was part of the Summer Sound staffs up until I graduated, got internships at KGON in Portland and at KZEL in Eugene, and worked at the campus station in Eugene, started as the production director, ended there as general manager. And then I got into commercial radio in Portland when I got out of college, and I'm still doing it. I'm in Seattle. I'm at KNWN, which used to be Como Radio, just changed call letters, but it's the same station, and I'm running the newsroom there. So, but it all goes back to KBPS. It's a line that runs through my whole career. It all started there. Without it, wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. So there was no KBPS. How would things be different for me? I don't even want to think about that, really. What have I done with my KBPS experience? I built my career on it, and I've always kind of remembered it as the foundation. When things are going badly, or if things are hard in my professional life, I just try to go back and think about KBPS, because that's what got me into radio in the first place. I just try to remember the feeling that I had when I first started doing radio at KBPS, and just try to get back to that. Just try to remember that that's why I'm doing it. In terms of advice for current students and future students, I would say be as diverse as you can be in the skills that you have. So if you have a particular thing that you like to do, like back in the day, I liked being a music jock, which is fine. But I learned when I got into the industry, you need to do more than that, because you might not necessarily get the job you want, but there might be other opportunities for you. And that's how things worked out for me. So you need to learn how to do everything, you know, jockeying, production, news. I never thought in a million years I would be doing radio news. Well, that's been the majority of my career. So you got to find things that you like to do, but you also need to be able to do a lot of things and do them well, because that's a very valuable skill set. And more, and I'm looking at this now from the management side, as we look for people to come join our staffs, we need people that can do a lot of things, because you need to be able to jump in when somebody goes on vacation or somebody goes down sick with COVID or whatever. You have to be able to jump in and do it at a high level, especially when you get to a big market like Portland or Seattle. Another piece of advice, and this is something that somebody told me at one of my first jobs: if you don't say it in real life, don't say it on the radio. What was the best part about going to Benson and being in the KBPS program while I was there? I think, yeah, the best part about Benson was the radio station. And just, it was just something that there was just a few people that were part of it, and there were even fewer that were really into it. There were a lot of people that went through the program, and it was just another class to them, and that's fine. I mean, not everybody is as into it as some of us are, but there was like this little core group of people, and that was just so cool. I'm not a big people person, but it was just super fun, and it was really cool to be there in the summertime doing music and getting paid to play rock and roll music on the radio. Just had to remember to play, you know, you play too much Depeche Mode, you gotta play some Fleetwood Mac. You got to keep Kevin happy. Hi, Kevin. And 100th anniversary. Wow. That's crazy. I mean, you know, it is and it's not. It's just KBPS was always there. I mean, it's always been around from my perspective. I was a little kid when my brother went there. He was 12 years older than me. So I'm in kindergarten. He's graduating from high school. And one of my earliest KBPS memories is the button he brought home and gave to me. It said KBPS Satellite Air Force. And there was a picture of him at some KBPS event where a guy dressed up like Darth Vader is choking him. That's my very first KBPS memory. So I'm like 5 years old. So in reality, it doesn't seem like that huge of a deal. It doesn't seem like, you know, my favorite album just turned 30. KBPS turns 100. Having said that, that's pretty amazing. It's pretty humbling to know that it's been around that long. And I'm just thankful and proud to have been a part of it for a short time. Well, thanks for listening to this babbling old alum. I'm Frank Lindsay, KBPS class of 1993. Thanks, KBPS, for everything. Happy 100th birthday.
All right, we are here for the KBPS Centennial 100th Anniversary Celebration. Alums in the studio coming by to say hi and share their experience. And we have an alum with us right now. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, my name is Martin Michaud Couch, class of 2006.
Martin, so great to see you, my friend.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, let's start with, tell us a little bit more about your KBPS experience. You know, what years were you active in the program, and to what extent were you involved? Were you just a student? Did you do summer sound? Tell us more.
So I was in KBPS from 2004 to about 2006, sophomore through senior year, and then beyond as a summer sound person, did that for about 3 years. After that, we also competed in Skills USA, taking home the gold for nationals. That was about it.
You were the part of the very first KBPS National Skills USA winners.
Yes, same with you.
Pretty cool stuff.
Right.
Good times. Martin, do you have a, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you have a favorite KBPS memory or at least a significant memory that comes to mind first from your time here?
I mean, just being on air overall, but I think there isn't a specific one, but doing Summer Sound in general, being able, like having we think we had the 10 a.m. to, or it was a 9 a.m. to like 2 o'clock slot, was just a lot of fun because since we basically were there doing it all on our own, news, updates, contests, taking calls, all of the stuff. I remember having a lot of fun with some of those recordings. And then even something else that was really fun was creating our own programs that may or may not still be used today. I remember one of my projects senior year was making an audio version of The Nightmare Before Christmas mixed with the Patrick Stewart narration with the music and putting that all together for others to enjoy.
Talk about how KBPS has kind of affected your life and your career. To what extent the things that you learned in the program and how are you using that today or are you at all?
After KBPS, I didn't end up pursuing radio as a career, but the thing I will say is that you can take the confidence that you learn for speaking publicly, because let's be honest, when you're here, it's public. You can apply that to every day. I've applied it to, you know, when I'm speaking in front of educators or when I'm presenting for meetings or even just, you know, I had a client where I needed to record their own voicemail because they didn't want to do it themselves. But just that built of confidence of speaking in public and speaking confidently is something that, you know, is kind of invaluable. And then being able to pre-read the news before you say something about it, that always helps.
Read it out loud before we hit the record button.
Right.
And kind of directly related to that last question, thinking of, putting my teacher hat on for a moment, do you have any advice for our current students or future students? Anything, any advice or tips or tricks that you would share with the future of KBPS?
I mean, just take every, just because you can't apply it directly to your life right now doesn't mean that it's not going to come into play later. I didn't think that radio post KBPS was going to be influential in my life, but it has come into play so many times and been helpful in so many different ways. Even when I was working retail and ended up doing like random podcasts, like just because you're not producing the podcast all the time, when you get onto a podcast, it helps a lot knowing what you know from radio broadcasting.
Things have changed between now and the time that we were students in the program. Do you remember anything about what it was like being at Benson and KBPS during your time there? And was there any like a best part about going to Benson when you were a student?
How do I say that? How do I put that? Like, I mean, we were actually at Benson for one. You know, it's going through reconstruction, which is something that Benson, the high school, has needed for a very long time, even before we were there and it started there in 2003. I think that the ideals of Benson still hold no matter where it goes. I don't know.
It was really cool to have been a part of the original, you know, Benson campus in that original school and that historic building.
Well, and even when we went, we were the last year as well to apply to go to Benson, where before now it's you choose to go here. Before I needed to get recommendation letters from my middle school teachers and things like that. So it's definitely a little bit different now, which is totally fine. I think everyone should have the opportunity to come here and learn.
Since sophomore class, we memorized 3/23/23, March 23rd, 1923. And, you know, at least I'll speak for myself. When I was a student in the program, it didn't really dawn on me that 2023 was right around the corner. But
nope.
Here we are, 100 years. You know, how do you feel about the 100th anniversary of KBPS?
I think it's amazing. I think it's pretty crazy even when I talk to people now about where I went to school and that we had an actual fully licensed FCC, you know, radio show, and that it was live. It wasn't delayed, even like some of the newer ones now. And just to think about that, it's been licensed, it's stayed licensed for 100 years is pretty incredible, and has gone through, you know, at least 100 years of classes of people learning broadcasting and not just, you know, the technology behind how that works, but also the journalism behind it as well.
That's really, Martin, that's all the questions that I have lined up for us, but I do want to open it up to, in case there's any story that you want to tell or any memory that you want to tell, or really, is there anything else that you want to add that I'm forgetting to bring up or forgetting to mention?
I think you covered it mostly, yeah.
Well, I cannot thank you enough for sparing a few minutes of your time to come by to the KBPS studios and to do a little 100th anniversary interview with us.
Thank you. Once again, my name is Martin Michaud Couch, class of 2006. Thanks for KBPS. Happy 100th anniversary.
Things turning 100 this year by KBPS alum Tim Underwood.
Oh, yes! We have no bananas. We have no bananas today.
Disney hits the century mark in 2023, and like the famed studio, KBPS has been home to its share of animated characters throughout the years.
What a way to run a radio station. What are you, a petty functionary there? How come you don't know anything?
The Bulldozer is celebrating its 100th, and just like this well-oiled machine, broadcast classes at the old 1450 are still running, clearing a path for outgoing graduates of the radio program to help build their dream careers. The Cotton Swab turns 100 this year. KBPS went through thousands of them back in the days of swabbing the heads of tape machines to bring you clear, quality programming like this.
I wonder what's happening to Judy and Jimmy and the Cinnamon Bear. They were captured by the Inca Booths, strange people made out of blotting paper with their faces drawn on in ink.
And while we had No Bananas, published the very same year and day that KBPS was assigned its original call letters KFIF, we did have our share of carrots.
And this has been a very special day.
And a very special year. The writing, voicing, editing, and mixing of this little production were all disciplines I learned 40-plus years ago at KBPS, and skills I continue to use every day at my recording studio. Happy 100th, and thank you, KBPS.
Yes, we have an old banana. We have an old banana today.
The 100th birthday, KBPS. Wow. I don't know. I was there at Benson during the 50th anniversary of KBPS, so this is really going back. You know, some respects, it just feels like yesterday. It was the tech newspaper, some type of an announcement I think they had when I was a freshman, saying that they had auditions open. You go to radio station KBPS in back of the old auditorium, top floor, and you do an audition. So I walked into the room, the great big studio that was there, and there were all these guys standing around. I don't know, there must have been 15 or 20 students. Then there's a table with a microphone with some copy, and you have to sit down and do your audition. So I nervously went in there and did it. Didn't hear a word. Nothing. I was a freshman. So I thought, well, I guess next year I'll sign up. It was an elective for Benson, elective to work at KBPS to help out there. So I signed up for it as a class. And I remember filing tapes. They had a tape room right across the station upstairs there. Tape deal, erasing tapes, just all kinds of stuff. One of the things I used to do all the time was go across the street and get hamburgers for Dr. Swenson. it was Ireland's restaurant. Then I think later it became Sweet Tibby Dunbar, but it was Ireland's, went across the street there. Attended numerous school board meetings with Mr. Concer, got to ride in his fancy Cadillac. Did a talk show with Dr. Swenson. I was running the board for the talk show. And Dr. Swenson was in the group with several school board members, and we weren't getting any calls. So she comes running out of the room over to the booth, and she says, I want you to call in. So I had to go to the back of the room, the other area there where the offices were, and call in. And I did an old lady's voice. And so they put me on the air as an old lady, and I asked a question. So one of the theatrical performances there, very few at KBPS. Well, one of the engineers was Tom Cothers. He worked at KBPS, and then he also worked at Kissin. So thanks to him, I got my first job besides mowing lawns at Kissin, answering the Kissin request line when I was a sophomore. So it was such a thrill. What a great career, though, I had for several years before I went into my little, parents had a family business. Did that when I was about 26. But radio was so much fun, and it was all due to KBPS. Wasn't for them, I would probably be fixing radios and TVs today, which is what I started out at Benson for. Anyway, thanks. It's been a thrill. I'm looking forward to celebrating the 100th birthday.
KBPS alums coming in and out of the studio all day long. Today it is the 100th anniversary celebration, the centennial celebration of AM 1450 KBPS. Another alum is here with us in studio. Great to see you. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Jonathan Juwade. I was a Benson class of 2003. I was chief of staff at KBPS and also had a short stint as the host of the Lunch Crew.
The Lunch Crew. Love it. Love it. Jonathan, it's so great to see you back at KBPS. First of all, let's talk a little bit about your KBPS experience, your time in the program. And are there any favorite memories or significant moments that stand out to you?
Yeah, I loved KBPS. Kevin and Steve were always awesome. Felt like father figures and really family members. Loved it so much that I came back and volunteered for a couple of years. But while I was walking the halls of C-Wing in KBPS, I remember specifically the Lunch Crew. Man, it was myself, Justin Rossman, whose name was Big Moosey, and Jesse Whiteside, who I just learned was Student of the Year in 2003. He was Sidekick Jesse. And I can still remember, it's 11:42, time for the Lunch Crew on Kid Rhythm Radio. And we had our own show, man, and it was independent of Summer Sound. It was independent of any work. And those are the memories that I have, sitting next to the control board with food, trying not to get it on the control board, and just BSing, man. It was great.
What was your on-air name?
Oh, yeah, Jem and Jawad. Yeah, because my last name is Juwade, and no one can pronounce it, and oftentimes it was Jawad. So it was Jem and Jawad, Sidekick Jesse, and Big Moosey.
Jonathan, arguably, you are one of the most successful alums to ever come out of the KBPS program, but it kind of your life and career kind of took a little different path from broadcasting. Talk a little bit about where you are now and how KBPS has played a role in your life.
Well, I am a partner at an apparel brand called Baseballism. I'm technically on the board now, but I was our chief operating officer for 10 years. It's a big brand. We have stores all over the country. You know, my role is in retail and wholesale, but I'm often the one communicating with our company employees. And anytime we need something front-facing, whether it be on the news or whether it be on, mostly the news, mostly media. If there's media or if somebody wants Baseballism to give a speech, they're going to shove me out there. And the reason is, I'm a decent communicator. I'm sure there are others out there that are better. But, the skills and the confidence that I learned in KBPS continues to help me thrive today. So anytime there's something front-facing, they're going to shove Jem and Jawad out there, and I'm going to do the best I can.
I'll put my teacher hat on for 2 seconds and take the bowling hat off. We'll get to bowling in just a second. But put the teacher hat on, Jonathan, for just a second. Any advice or, you know, what would you say to current students and future students of KBPS?
Well, I just had the pleasure. You had me speak in front of a class of seniors, which was awesome. And one of the things I identified to them, you know, Benson KBPS is no stranger for me, right? I was in the program. And so I know there's really good students, and there's students that are just trying to find their way. And KBPS is an awesome opportunity to really try things and to be creative and to learn how to communicate the right way. A lot of life and a lot of business is storytelling. And if you can tell stories and you can captivate and you can capture a room or you can capture an audience, you're going to be successful whenever you do. And those are really the skills that I got from Kevin and Steve and my classmates at KBPS.
Yeah, there's a big change happening at Benson High School right now, and it's never going to be the same. You know, the hallways that you and I walked as students will never be the same again. I'm just curious, are you following the construction at Benson? And, you know, what stands out to you about the old Benson campus that we got to experience as students that maybe today's students will never get to see?
Well, I think what students will experience when this school reopens is really special. I call it like a historical mullet, okay? So what we're doing is we're keeping the architecture of the 20s front-facing on 12th. And that's really magical. You could film a movie in front of Benson because of the way that looks. But I would say kind of the tail of Benson, the C-wing and E-wing, There was more to be desired. I think a lot of those were added in the 60s, right? Or 50s and 60s. My Simon Benson history class is not great. But I think what we're going to get is we're going to get a modern experience. We're going to get connectivity, it sounds like, for the KBPS to the actual campus, right? It rains in Portland, right? You know, when you went to KBPS or when I went to KBPS, we had to walk outside. Yep. And so having connect, and it almost felt like a silo. Here I am in KBPS and I'm on this island. I'm not really connected. Now you're in it. So I think what we're going to get is we're going to get the essence of the 20s and that architecture, which I really appreciate, the arches. And then what we're going to get is we're going to get modern classrooms and we're going to get connectivity for KBPS. And I'm really excited about that.
There's this little thing, March 23rd, 1923. We all memorized it in the sophomore class. It was on the test. And now here we are, March 23rd, 2023, 100 years. Jonathan, you know, how do you feel about the 100th anniversary of this radio station?
It's a little overwhelming, actually, you know, centennial celebration. I think that's accurate. I was actually on Facebook yesterday and you saw this, right? I've got a great uncle or cousin, you know, I'm Lebanese, so everybody's related, but he is related to me by blood. George Wade, he went to Benson and he graduated in 1958 and he put up a plaque, which I've seen now, that he was the most outstanding student in 1958. And I didn't even know that. And then, you know, here I am. I have my dabble in KBPS, and I'm chief of staff in 2003. And so there's this really long connectivity and what KBPS has done for not only my family, but all of the students, man. It is like I live my life on a couple of different things. And one is, how can you be unexpected? How can you be remembered? KBPS as an option to a student in Portland is unexpected. It is rare. And there's a reason it's been around for 100 years. So I'm really, really excited to hopefully be in town and celebrate with everybody for the centennial.
Jonathan, again, thank you so much for your time. That's really all the questions that I kind of had lined up for us, but I do want to open it up and give you an opportunity to add anything else maybe I'm forgetting to mention or any fun stories you want to tell or anything else that I'm forgetting to touch on you want to add?
For anybody that's listening from the class of 2003, needs you there at the celebration, especially Justin Rossman and Jesse Whiteside and that whole crew, because I think I'm excited. I'm excited to see people that have come through the program that maybe I don't know. And I'm excited in an era in which we're reimagining history with this new remodel at Benson. It's nice to celebrate history. So that's all I got.
That's beautiful. Jonathan Jouade, Chief of Staff, 2003. Thank you so much, man, for coming back and saying hi.
My pleasure.
As KBPS celebrates its 100th anniversary, we are bringing in our alums from past years in for some interviews and learning about what KBPS looked like way back before I was a thing. But it's not about me. It's about the person with me today. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners? Tell us.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to. My name is Leslie Franklin Fow. I am the class of 1986. And you had wanted to know what titles. Let's see. I was the chief of staff of KBPS student staff and the first female to hold that title.
Were you, what is your favorite KBPS memory?
That's a tough one. I think that we had done some 19 magazine work. So we developed a nighttime show that ran in the evenings, and we were able to play popular music just like any other radio station in town, and we really kind of emulated a real big-time music station.
Now, you mentioned that you were the chief of staff, but something you didn't mention, you were the first female chief of staff. What did that look like, and what was your responsibilities as the chief of staff?
Well, just as chief of staff, what we were able to do is really kind of integrate and have a voice within what the programming looked like, what the opportunities were for people in the community. So we were able to kind of help foster some of the collaboration between what other community aspects and shows were doing. Like, this was before KBOO kind of came on, and, you know, really trying to give some community members a voice and saying that even though we're students, we're still part of the community and we can still make a difference.
Can you tell us about how KBPS affected your life and your career?
Oh my goodness. So because of my time at KBPS, I was able to learn, I utilize a lot of my skills, which one of them being talking, but another one, I had a nice degree of manual dexterity. So I liked electronic things. So I really loved the aspect of being able to set up the remotes. I was able to do some voice work because I realized that I love talking on the radio. I love reading books. I love on the radio. The way I started out wanting to be on KBPS was actually I was in second grade and I won a contest for being a really good reader. So part of what we won was we got to go to KBPS as a second grader and read a story on the air. And I'm pretty sure it was just recorded, but we were really excited. We got to use all of the fun sound effect things, shutting the doors. And it was just an experience that I never forgot. And I always knew that I wanted to come back. So when I went to high school and was looking at which high schools to go to, that is exactly why I wanted to come to Benson. I knew right off the bat that I wanted to go into radio. And then when I got to the program, realizing that the opportunities were much more vast than I realized. So I still got to become a voice talent and read stories on the radio. Learned about all the different opportunities that they were in the industry. So I was able to go right into working at a commercial radio station and history from there.
What if there was no KBPS? Do you think you still would have found your way to where you are today?
God, I would definitely have had a different path. That is absolutely for sure. And what that path would have been, that's a great question. I don't know. I shudder to think.
What have you done with all the experience you've learned at KBPS? What are some positions you've held within the radio industry?
Oh, wow. I've actually done quite a few of them, and it's all been because of the knowledge and experience that I gained during my time here. So I was able to work as call-out research, which was basically the old days when you would go and call people up and ask them if they liked a song, just basic as that. And then I went into doing on-air. So I was an on-air talent doing more sidekick than actually running the board. So I was a morning show. I did news in the morning. I have done marketing and promotions primarily for my entire career, loving it, being able to give people experiences that they would not be able to buy. And that's really one of the key things, is to be able to offer somebody an experience with either an artist or a place or a vacation or winning a car or doing all those kind of fun things that people in my position gets to do. So, and then I've also been able to produce shows and bring content to people that have raised a lot of money for charity. So doing a lot of the fundraising on air using radio as the platform is probably the biggest thrill.
Do you have any advice for current or future KBPS students?
I would just say that this is an opportunity that does not get afforded to everybody. And if you really do have interest in going into either media or communications, it doesn't have to just be radio, but anything that has to do with content, writing, news, journalism, any of that, the advice I would give is to just really gather and be a sponge. Learn all you can, because this is really your only time you're going to get a free education in this area. And you can really get far and away closer to where you want to be with this program.
When you were a student back at KBPS, what would you say the best thing that happened there was? What was the best, most exciting thing that you did at KBPS?
Well, let's see. So the most exciting thing I did, I believe, was putting together, as part of an assignment, actually, but it was something we were all very proud of. So we were able to put together a radio drama that was an educational piece that we worked on with my team. And our teacher producer helped with it, and it won some awards, actually. It was basically about teenage drinking and what would be, what are the pitfalls of teenage drinking if you're drinking and driving a car, or if you get into a car with somebody who's been drinking. So we did that radio drama, and it was actually very compelling. And I think that's probably one of the things that I'm most proud of. And of course, the accomplishments of being kind of the first female at a lot of these different elements of the program. So
KBPS is turning 100 years old. You were in class in the 80s, so that puts it at 50, 60. How does it feel to have this integral part of who you have become turn a century old?
Well, it's thrilling and terrifying at the same time. So obviously the terrifying part is just realizing how long ago it was for me within that 100 years. And then just understanding and just being so excited that this is something that is still available. And because of the medium that it is, has been able to evolve along with the needs and the way that people receive their content. So as the whole industry changes and evolves, this program has changed and evolved to meet the needs of its students. And I'm just super excited about that. And I think as long as we have great students like you, Joe, I think that it'll continue on.
Well, thank you. As we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to tell? Any fun KBPS stories or any fun stories from your experiences after KBPS?
Oh my gosh, there's so many of them to name. Again, I've been in the industry since high school, so there's been a lot of events, a lot of marketing opportunities, a lot of fundraising opportunities. I think that some of the really meaningful things to me has been raising millions and millions of dollars for, for different charities all over the world, globally, World Vision, and, you know, not just altruistic things. There's been some really fun things too, like getting to, you know, meet artists and be backstage and see people meet their idols and make such a huge difference in their lives. So it's really an impact in people's lives. And I think as far as fun stories, I have a lot of them, but of course, you know, none of them are coming to mind right this minute. So.
Well, that's all okay. Thank you so much for your time. It's been wonderful chatting with you, and thanks for coming in for an interview.
Thanks, Joe.
Hi, this is Joel Kelly from Summersound 1983 and 1984, trying to wrap my head around the fact that it's been 40 years since I first walked up the stairs to the old AM broadcast booth at Benson to audition for KBPS. I had always loved radio and made tapes of myself as a kid pretending to be a DJ. It never occurred to me it might be something I could actually do. I have vivid memories of meeting Kevin Flink for the first time, and I still have the letter he sent me to let me know I was hired. I don't think either of us could have imagined 40 years later we'd still be talking about it, along with all the other great people I got to spend those two summers with as part of the news crew, including our landmark 1984 world tour. Summersound taught me a lot about myself and my abilities as a communicator. I learned things that have followed me through my life and helped me in my career as a fundraiser for nonprofit organizations. I wish I could be there for the 100th anniversary celebration to see all the folks who've meant so much to me over the years, but I will be there in spirit and always be grateful I was part of the amazing story of KBPS. That's it for now, but always remember, Mail moves the country, and zip code moves the mail. Back to you, and thanks.
KBPS on PRP, the new student show airing on Portland Radio Project, featuring Benson High School KBPS radio students. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland. On the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland and streaming worldwide from any computer at prp.fm. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joe Anderson, and this has been an hour with KBPS on PRP.